Welcome back. We've been joining together in reading this thing called the New Testament. New Testament is, again, a group of letters that were collected by the early church to help us understand who is this Jesus, what did God accomplish in him and through him, and what does that mean for us? What does that mean for the whole universe, even? And so it's a story of, again, not only, it's accounts of not only Jesus' life, the first four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but then we have the story of the church being birthed, and then we have Paul's letters. And the last several months, we've been going through Paul's letters. We're going to keep on in that same line. And so today, we're going through the letter to the Colossians people. Colossians is actually not a long letter. It's four chapters for us. But in that, we kind of have this feeling that it is for this church, but they've asked us, the people that read this, to then pass it on to the next church kind of thing. So we know that it's got some general instruction. Sometimes when Paul talks, when he writes to churches, they're very pointed, or they're specific about this person or these arguments or this challenge they're facing. But sometimes they're just really helpful and healthy, a robust collection of truths about God and what God again did in Jesus and through Jesus. And so Colossians gives us so much about who this Jesus is and was, that what, again, God accomplished through him. We call this Christology, that the person, nature, and role of Jesus. What was he all about? And this fleshes out so much of what we know about Jesus, and, which is exciting, that what we know about us in Jesus. And so he makes several really powerful statements in Colossians. And I talked a few weeks ago about these letters here, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, and Colossians. I talked about these four letters and how in these letters that God gives us so much richness of what it means to be in relationship with the Lord, how to be in relationship with others, how to have a healthy relationship with others, who we are in Christ. What does it mean how do we discern truth? And how do we share the hope that we have with others? And again, not do it in a way that's offensive or causes people to pull back, but to use all the wisdom we can to season our words so that others would come to know this Jesus. So there's a lot here, but it's a challenge sometimes when I prepare the messages for going through these letters, especially, there's so much I want to jump into, and there's so much I want to teach, but I understand that's not really helpful when it comes to us taking this and then applying it to our lives, and how does this impact you tomorrow? Whether it be, you know, tonight or early in the morning, how does what we learn and discern together through what God's teaching us through his word impact us so that we can have different, healthier, more productive relationships? How does this help us at our work or with our volunteer service in the community? Maybe we need to volunteer in the community. All these things that the Lord is looking to do in us and through us is my prayer that this would connect. And so I hope my prayer again is that it would not just be a history lesson of Colossians, but it would be something more, that you would see that you are God's people and we're to be about God's business, that he has us where he has us for a reason. Not by accident, not by happenstance, even though we might not connect all the dots. He has you where he has you, where he wants you for a reason. Just put on a few pictures of the actual town of Colossae where we know it's located. And it's unfortunately, again, because of a really bad earthquake, kind of demolished that town and a couple towns near it. So it was kind of abandoned a little bit before 100 AD. And so it's never been excavated. So we have some artifacts from there, but mainly we have from the writings of Paul, what we know about that area and stuff. So, but the whole letter of Colossians can be summed up in one word, maturity. How are we growing? How are we becoming the people God always wanted us to become? I share every week how we're called to grow in him, that as we grow in him, he's looking to help us to know him and to be known by him, that we're to have conversations with him throughout the day, our attention, our focus, our hopes, our dreams are based in this Jesus, in the person of Jesus. And that's found throughout Colossians. That it's not just this, you know, because I'm a pastor, I'm that excited about it. It's because, I mean, it's the truth, and that's why I'm excited about it. And so I hope it'll connect with you. So let's jump into the text, okay? We're going to be checking out this little section in Colossians 1 and throughout. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. That's great news, right? They're praying for this church. Paul, we know that at this point, has not been to Colossae. That in fact, most likely, he's met several people that, in fact, we know that he ministered and developed and discipled a gentleman, Epaphras, who went there and was helping leading the church there. And so he's just trying to encourage them. There's some factions that are growing in various parts of the country. We don't have evidence per se here of anyone specific, but he really starts to just really try to unpack who we are in Christ, what has Christ done, who is this Jesus, and again, this focus of he is sufficient. We've seen this in Galatians, if you followed with us then, and now we're seeing it again here. But it's just important for us to know that he loves these people, even though he hasn't met them. He's praying for them and just trusting that God's going to be working in them. He continues, we ask God to give you complete knowledge, interesting, complete knowledge of his will, of God's will, that you don't have to guess. Isn't that beautiful? Couldn't that be for us too? Maybe. Complete knowledge of his will, and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. This complete knowledge is for us to be growing, flourishing up in the Lord. That you and I aren't just meant to just meet Jesus and say, Lord, I believe in you, and boom, we're gone. The calling for us is for us to be in the Lord and to walk with him, to know him, to be known by him. Yes, our lives should look different, but not by us trying harder, not by us following a whole bunch of rules and regulations, but because we've been in a relationship with this Jesus, that he invites us from when we open our eyes to when we close them at night. So whether it be morning, afternoon, evening, he invites us to be in relationship with him. He says that then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Because of the relationship, because of knowing God's will, because of being in relationship with Jesus, we'll honor God with our lives. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. Isn't that just, again, a great picture? He's trying to let them know, listen, as you continue to know the Lord, he's going to work in you and through you. Our responsibility is to make ourselves available. That as we pray, as we seek, as we know the Lord, he'll put on our hearts when to pray for others, when to reach out, when to serve. He might, again, bring us into conversations with people, and we share the hope that we have. It's not about trying to make things happen for God. In fact, we probably do more damage for God when we do that than when we just are open and available and saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Direct my steps, guide my thoughts, be over my heart. He continues, all the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You see what I'm saying? He's like, you're going to continue to grow in God's knowledge, and that's going to impact your lives, how you live your lives, and how people see. They're going to say, there's something different there, and you're going to be able to do this because you get to know God more and more and more. Next month, we're going to invite people to join us for a new study. It's actually more of a course called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and it's free, but we're going to be doing it after our first in-person service at 9:30, and we're going to provide an opportunity for you to develop this flourish, develop the relationship you have with Jesus, and help it to become flourishing. And it's one of the most core responsibilities of the church is to equip the church to know Jesus and then follow him and be on mission with him. And so we think this is a crucial next step, especially for anyone in the church, but especially for those who have been saying, you know, I need a deeper walk. Or maybe I've been journeying a bit, and I just still am not, maybe I'm not seeing the fruit like they're talking about just now. See, there's in Colossians, there's this picture that Paul paints about the fruit of the gospel, that what God has done in them, he's going to continue to bless others. It's a challenge for us because we think sometimes by just going somewhere that, okay, we'll just check it off our box or something, or, you know, we say our prayers before we go to bed, or maybe we say our prayers before we eat a meal or something. And that's great. We need to continue to do that. But the hope is that our lives would, not because we had to, but because it just, we exuded it. It just overflowed from who we are, again, because of knowing God. Check this statement that he says in here, that Paul writes, that I absolutely love. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He's like, there's no guessing anymore. We don't have to guess of, well, you know, do you think God would be like this, or do you think God would be like this, or man, I think God, oh man, I don't wonder if he doesn't like this or what. We don't have to guess anymore because we have Jesus, and because of our accounts we have of Jesus that tell us, and what he taught, and the brilliance that he had, and what he overcame by the power of the Spirit, that he rose from the dead and now has called us to be his, and sends us out to be his hands and his feet in the community. And so that's great. He's the visible image of the invisible God. Right after this, he says, he existed before anything was created. Again, think about what we didn't know. Jesus never taught about this. And yet, Paul has connected the dots from Scripture about who Jesus is and what he accomplished by laying this out. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. He's like, he is tops. There's nothing. He was before, he wasn't created by God. He existed before and with God. He is the second member of the Trinity. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He continues on. He says, everything was created through him and for him. Christ is supreme. There is no other. And he's trying to help this church know that you don't add anything to Jesus. You don't add anything to what God did in Jesus and through Jesus, that Jesus is sufficient, that he was around before, he's going to be around after, and it's about us surrendering and submitting to that truth. Another statement he says later is, he's kind of laying out kind of what, why did Jesus come, and what was accomplished through there. He says, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. The word sinful nature, just kind of a little caveat, it's not about sinful nature. It's not the word. It's kind of like your old humanity, the old way of living, the way you were before Jesus, okay? The way that we have really just, in our rebellion from Adam and Eve, from creation, that rebellion is deep within all of us. And so why did God send Jesus here? Why did Jesus say, yes, I need to be here? We were dead. You know, when I've heard it explained like this, and I think it's a great illustration. Dr. Dana Allen shared this with me. He goes, you know, from the Reformed tradition, that understanding that we were dead, that we couldn't respond. He happened to be an EMT for a time before God called him into serving in the local church. And he said, you know, our responsibility as EMTs was, if we were to go and we find someone who wasn't responsive, we would help them. They weren't able to ask for help. They weren't able to even deny help, right? I mean, it was like, listen, we're going to help them. Unless we're told otherwise, we're going to help them. And Jesus does that for us. We were dead. We had no chance of asking for God to help us. We didn't go searching for God. No, God searched for us. He's the one who found us. And he has been helping us and drawing us to him. And he says, you were dead, but in your sins, and because of your nature, there was nothing you could do. And I explained kind of weekly that we all have these icebergs in our lives. Well, this was the greatest iceberg. This was the iceberg of icebergs. We had no chance. How are we going to have a relationship with God? How are we going to be made right with God? We can't do that on our own. It'd be like us trying to hop over this while in water, right? That's just not even possible. He says this, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. We were dead because of our sins, but he provides a way around and a way through this new life in Christ. We are given life in Christ. I mean, it's right there that this life is not meant for just us. In fact, reading this, we find that we were really dead. We weren't even aware of how bad we were. We couldn't do anything about it, but he gives us new life. I want to share about a new life. There's a wonderful gentleman, if you know him, in our church family, Frank Nantista. Love Frank. He's right now battling some challenges at the hospital. not COVID related, but he's really got some struggles ahead. But I just want to tell you how he is just a great picture of someone who he grew up a lot in the church. He went through various training and youth programs and stuff as a kid. Grew up in the Bronx, New York, and in him, over the course of his life, served in various ways in the local church. But he said just recently to me, he says, you know, joining that Bible study, it's been a couple years now, about 3 years, that Bible study, he's approaching 90. He's like, that Bible study has truly changed me. He goes, I just, not only do I know more, but I think I understand more. Like, I get it. I understand what it means to follow the Lord. I get what it means to be in relationship with the Lord. And I think that's just beautiful. It's not that anything he did before was bad or wrong, but God wanted him to have a deeper walk with him. And he invited him into this Bible study because he knew some of the guys. And they invited him, and they had him over. And it's been really beautiful to see that group really just flourish. Feel, not only see them in their love for the Lord, but their love for one another. They lost a loved one this last year. And we miss him greatly, for sure. But in that grieving, it has helped them even to get closer. And again, I know that they'll be there for Frank and Miss Barbara when it comes to this new season that they're going to be facing. And we're going to keep praying for Frank and Miss Barbara. But I just want to encourage you that this new life can happen at any time, no matter where you're at or how old you are. God wants a deeper relationship with you, and you can have that. Look at this beautiful prayer. He says, pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. Pray for, I mean, here he is, you know, this Paul who used to persecute the church, who thought that these Christians, and by the way, that Christian is actually not a term that any of the first followers of Jesus ever labeled themselves. It was kind of like a pejorative. They're Christ ones. Okay, they're ones who follow in the way of Christ, and it became Christians kind of thing. But this church that's kind of birthed out of a relationship he had with another gentleman who then is, you know, seeing this and tending to it, he's wanting it to flourish, and he's heard great things about what God's doing in their lives and in their church. But he's like, but you know what? Would you guys pray for me too? And I love that. I love that he's saying, listen, I need your prayers. One, I think it shows a lot of humility. And two, it's a great example. We need to be eager to ask others to pray for us. I'm going to ask you. I want you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. Boy, do I need you to pray for me. We need to be praying for the church, praying for each other. We have to be seeking the Lord for each other because we need that encouragement, and we also need to know that we're in this together. He's not trying to do it on his own, but he's like, listen, I want you to pray that there will be opportunities. God will open up in people's lives, and I'll be able to speak. And then in that same turn, he actually turns it back to him, which I think is, again, just classic Paul. He's really good at that. Kind of like he volleys it, you know, kind of like tennis or something. And then he goes, I want now you to live wisely among those who are not believers, those who are not followers of Jesus, those who don't know the hope we have in Jesus. He goes, and make the most of every opportunity. Seek situations that can help you have a step into someone's life that you can share about who this Jesus is and what he's done in your life. The text says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. This text is so important for us to understand that, yes, we are invited into a great, deep, a real relationship with the living God. And we know this God through Jesus. He's the visible image of an invisible God. And in that, he wants us to know him so that he can bring this life to the surface and then out to others. He wants others to know this. But it's interesting how sometimes we just kind of go, well, okay, well, that sounds good for them, but I don't really know what to say. I'm not sure what to say. I want you to ask yourself, where do you spend the most of your time throughout the week? Where has God placed you? Whether it be your job, whether it be taking care of the grandkids, whether it be volunteering somewhere, whether it be right now you're just at home, you're just kind of going, Lord, what do you want for me to do? I want you to be praying for your, we call it your frontline ministry. where God has placed you for a reason, we want you to pray four opportunities that you can share about this, the love you have in Jesus, the, what you're experiencing. Not because you have all the answers, not because you maybe know exactly what to say, but because it's like the next step. It's what God wants to do through us. But we have to pay attention. And one of the best ways to pay attention is by praying, by stopping, slowing down, and being present. And then the opportunities God opens up, you speak into. Again, it's season your words so that you can with all wisdom and gentleness minister, speak the truth, but speak it in love, share the hope that you have. We're going to take a few moments for prayer and singing, but in these moments, my prayer is that you would sense God just directing you to think about the people in your lives that you see on a regular basis. How can you be a blessing to them? How can you encourage them? What can you physically do? What can you pray for? You never know. I reached out to a gentleman this week. He's put on my heart, and I just reached out and said, I'm praying for you. And he replied a few minutes later. He's like, I just want you to know that, man, much needed. Thank you so much. These are some of the challenges we're experiencing at work. And I was like, praise the Lord. I'm glad that God used it. I'm glad that God put you on my heart to pray for. Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't, but I want to encourage you, please be lifting up one another, but especially for you this next week. Where's God placed you? How can you engage others in the love of Jesus? Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Are you praying for things, or are we just listing things? Or are you praying with an alert mind, Lord, and just being open? What do you want to talk about today? Maybe there's areas in your life, I know like in my life, that I have to just turn over. Lord, I'm struggling here. I need your help here. That's fine. We need to give that over to him. But I want to encourage you, just be still. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's known as the Jesus, kind of a Jesus prayer. It's a short little breath prayer. It's something that has been used for the church around the world for almost a millennia that I know of in church history. But it comes from a text in one of the Gospels. But it's a great phrase to sometimes just use to help us in our focusing on the Lord, to help us have an alert mind. Lord Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's crucial that you and I seek the Lord and really just be aware, be open, and let him pour into us. We don't have to worry about all the words we have to use or what words to use. We just have to make ourselves available. And in doing that, letting the Lord pour into us, it'll help prepare ourselves, that we will be prepared for what he's wanting to do in us and through us. It'll help us be ready for our frontline ministries. And so I hope that you'll take that encouragement that comes right from Colossians and apply it to your lives. What's your homework? Well, we're reading the next one, excuse me. We're reading the next text in Ephesians. And so Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, we're going to be taking a good hard look in, and then we'll dig in the next week of the last part of it. But I hope and pray that this has been, again, a valuable time for you, that you're enjoying the reading of the text together. I hope you're taking us up on that. But know, again, that your life and in the Lord, that he is our reality, and he defines who we are, and he's the one who says what life is and gives us what life can be. And I want to encourage you to seek him with all your heart, and don't be afraid to share the struggles and the questions you have. He's big enough to handle it. Know this, he loves you, and he's got a plan, and he's working in you and through you. But it's our responsibility again to say, okay, Lord, what would you like to do today? What do you want to do through me? I hope this has encouraged you. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Oh, I love that. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you, where you are. believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Thanks so much, folks, and God bless. Take care.